Very good. Haven't had a special on a Wednesday night in forever. That's kind of nice. Parents, feel free to get on your young kids a little bit or your teenagers a little bit and say, hey, if you've got a special, you're more than welcome to do it on a Wednesday night, okay? All right. You got a big welcome, so maybe that won't happen, but the kiddos are welcome to do it if they would like to, okay? Genesis chapter 46 tonight. Genesis chapter 46. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, it is again good to be in your house tonight. Lord, I'm thankful for the safety you've given us this week. Lord, we say that tonight, maybe a little bit more mindful of the safety that you've given us based on the week's events and what could have been. And so, Lord, we're thankful for this place to assemble tonight. We're thankful, Lord, that we have the health and the strength to be able to do so. And God, I pray that you'd help me in the next few moments to say something that would be a help to your people. God, that you'd use it in our lives in a great way, really, not just tonight, but in the days and weeks and months ahead, whenever we may need to recall this simple truth. I pray that you'd help us to do that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, several weeks ago, you may remember, we watched as Joseph revealed himself to his brothers. We know that this was a very emotional experience for him. We know that as a result of him revealing himself to his brothers, that the news traveled throughout the kingdom, and it traveled far. It made its way all the way to the house of Pharaoh, and whenever Pharaoh learned that Joseph's brothers had come to the land of Egypt to buy corn, that he said that he wanted them to move to Egypt and that he would give them the best of the land and that he would take care of them and he would meet their needs. And I said that it was a very generous gesture on behalf of Pharaoh toward the family of Joseph, but he did so somewhat in ignorance, not knowing the full story, not knowing the full context of things, the relationship between the brothers and Joseph. And yet, as Pharaoh made this gesture of generosity and this gesture of kindness to the brothers, we watched as Joseph also extended that same gesture of generosity to his brothers, and he took care of them. And I said that it was an amazing thing to watch based upon the relationship they had had with one another so many years prior. And so I tried to give us this thought. I don't know if you used it. I don't know if it stuck with you or not. But I tried to give us this thought that Joseph was generous to the jerks in his life. Joseph was generous to the jerks in his life. And in saying that, I tried to convey this thought, that you and I, most of us, have no problem being generous to the good and the kind people in our lives, the one that we get along with, the ones that we like, the ones that we respect. But it is usually a completely different story when people are jerks to us. That is not when our flesh says, let me be generous. Let me shower you with things that I think you don't deserve. That is not what our flesh generally wants to do. And I promise you, whenever we have to exercise such a Bible principle and such a Bible truth, it can be very difficult and taxing for the flesh because we don't want to do it. And if you didn't have the chance to exercise that principle in the last week, just wait. You will have an opportunity at some point. And if you think it's easy right now, just wait until you're in that position. And it will not be easy and it will not be fun and it will go against everything that human nature wants to do. All right? So that's what we looked at this last week. Tonight, we're going to move on. We're still going to be in chapter 46. Before we do, I'm going to give you a disclaimer tonight, okay? I probably shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Tonight, you need to compartmentalize your thoughts. Compartmentalize. If you don't, it's just going to be like a goulash, and it's just going to be a mess, and you will leave saying that made no sense at all unless you like goulash, okay? You need to compartmentalize tonight. It'll help you, I hope, understand where the thoughts are headed. So here's the first thing, the first compartment I want us to think about tonight, okay? The first thing is this, is that if you read through the Psalms, something that you will read on several occasions is this, the writer making this statement of the Lord that he is good. That the Lord, he is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. How come? For he is good. Express thanks, express gratitude, be grateful to the Lord because He is good. What does it mean whenever the Scripture says that the Lord is good? Well, there are many definitions that are used to describe the word good, but I like this definition, and it's what we're going to work with tonight. So I want us to think about this. The word good means to be kind. To be kind. So, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, or oh, give thanks unto the Lord, because He is kind. Well, what does it mean to be kind? It means this, to be benevolent, or to be charitable. It's very similar to the idea of being generous, but it would be different to an extent. But the Lord is good, or He is kind, He is benevolent, and He is charitable. And that is what is recorded of the nature or the character of the Lord in the book of Psalms. So do we understand this? The Lord, according to the psalmist, He is good. He is kind, He is benevolent, He is charitable. Compartment number two. Growing up, about 10 minutes from where we lived, there was a large mall that my parents liked to go to and do some shopping. If they wanted to kill some time and just walk around for a little bit, there was this mall that they would go to. And as a child, we were not allowed to stay at home most of the time. And so we would go to the mall with my parents. Now, if you know my parents, or based on what you know of my parents now, it probably doesn't surprise you that I would say to you that I grew up in what I considered to be a good home. I grew up with kind, benevolent, charitable, giving parents. They made sure that my needs were met. They made sure that my brother's needs were met. My parents were good to me and to my brother. I grew up in what I would consider to be a good home. And so in this good home, my parents would go to the mall and they would shop and they would buy us what we needed and things of that nature. But how many of you remember that 25, 30, 35 years ago, arcade rooms were much more popular than they are today? And you could play a game for a quarter. Now, back then, 30 years ago, a quarter was worth more, obviously, than it is today. But right there outside of JCPenney's in this mall was this massive, massive arcade room. So what do you think I liked to do or wanted to do every time we went to the mall? I wanted Dad and Mom to give me a dollar so that I could go into the arcade room, put it in the change machine, get four quarters, and play four games. Just up the aisle, the walkway there in the mall from the arcade room, there was also another store that I loved just as much. It was Dunkin' Donuts. Keep in mind, at this stage in my life, I wore Huskies. That's not for petite, slim boys, if you know what Huskies are, okay? I was Husky. That was the gentle way of saying, boy, you're fat. So I was a husky, chunky, stout, solid young man. And you could buy 10 sprinkled donut holes, maybe a dozen, I don't remember what it was, for a dollar. Those are pretty simple desires in life, are they not? Fat boy just wants some donut holes and some game money. It is simply $2, Dad and Mom, that I'm asking you for. Well, on many occasions, guess what my parents said? They said no. They didn't want to stand around and wait while I found four games to play and while my brother found four games to play. And maybe they realized the boy's wearing Huskies. He doesn't need any more donut holes. I don't know what the logic was behind all of it. But there were many occasions that I would ask for a dollar for the arcade games and a dollar for the donut holes. And my parents would say no. So does that minimize the goodness of my parents? No, of course not. Just because I did not get everything I wanted in life did not mean that my parents were not good. So even in the midst of trials and even in the midst of tribulation, me not getting the donut holes and the game money, if I were honest, I still had to say of my parents, I've got good parents. I've got kind parents. I've got benevolent and charitable parents because they do so many things for me. But on occasion, I would ask for a dollar and I'd ask for the donut holes. And on occasion, what do you think they said? They said yes. They said, here you go. Here's some game money. Here's some snack money. You're free to get what it is you want. Now understand, please, when they did that, you know what that revealed of my parents? It revealed they're good. They are kind. They are benevolent. They are charitable. Now, someone, if you're listening, you may say, I'm listening, but I'm not following this. Where are you headed with this? Well, I want us to think about this. My parents were good whether or not they gave me the money for the games and the snacks. They were good in spite of that. But when they gave me those extras, whenever they gave me that little bit more than what I really deserved or may have even really needed at the time, you know what that was? That was just a greater expression of their goodness in my life. But if they did not give it to me, I could not walk away and say, well, Dad, Mom, y'all just aren't good people. And if I had had that attitude, it would have been a wrong attitude. It would have been a wrong spirit. So compartment number three now. Consider the story of Joseph in relation to his father, that being Jacob or Israel, as he is referred to in the scripture. Here is what we know of Joseph and here is what we know of Jacob, that while they were not perfect men, they were men who served the Lord and walked with God. Would we agree? If you'd like to go back and reread the story at some point, I would encourage you to do so. Obviously, we're not going to do that tonight. But if you were to go back and read the story of Joseph, if you were to look at the story of Jacob, again, not perfect men by any stretch, but they were men who knew God and they were men who walked with God. Now, Jacob and Joseph do not have these words recorded of them, but I'd like to ask you something. If we could have shared with them the words of David or the words of the psalmist that the Lord is good, do you think Jacob and Joseph would have argued with him? If you had said to Jacob and Joseph, hey, listen, there's a psalmist, and he has said, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Do you think Jacob and Joseph would have said, I don't know who wrote that, but they're crazy? I don't think that's what their attitude would have been. I think if you had said to Jacob and to Joseph, listen, there is this writer, and he has declared of the Lord that he is kind and that he is benevolent and he is charitable. Man, what do you think about such an assessment? What do you think about the evaluation of this writer as it relates to the character and the nature and the being of the Lord and of God? What do you think of this? I think they would have said something like this. The writer is exactly right. The writer is correct. The Lord is good. Joseph, in spite of everything you have dealt with, you still want to suggest that the Lord is good? Absolutely. Because the Lord's goodness is not dependent upon or does not hinge on whether or not everything goes my way completely. So yes, there have been difficult days, and yes, there have been trying times, and yes, there have been hard moments that I wish I hadn't had to go through, but I can still stand and say with the writer of the psalm that the Lord is good. He is kind, and he has been benevolent, and he has been charitable to me. And Jacob, with everything that you've dealt with, and everything that you've seen, and everything that you've witnessed, thinking for 22 years that your son had been killed by a wild animal, living this lie that you did not know was a lie. Jacob, do you still believe, in spite of all that, that the Lord is good? I know it's an assumption on my part, but you know what I think Jacob would have said based on everything we know of him? I think Jacob would have said, yes, I believe the Lord is good. So here is Jacob and here is Joseph, the father and the son, and of course, separated by many years in their age, they would both be of the opinion that God had been good to them in their lives in so many areas, even the simplest and most mundane of areas of life. What's that got to do with chapter 46? Well, notice in verse number 28. In verse number 28, it says this, "And he," that being a reference to Jacob, "sent Judah before him unto Joseph." So Jacob and his family, moving from the land of Canaan to the land of Egypt, as they are drawing closer to the land of Egypt, it says in verse number 28 that Jacob sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. What has Jacob essentially said to Judah? He said this, "Son, we got to know where to go. We don't know where Goshen's at. Or if we know where Goshen's at, we don't know where we're supposed to go when we get to Goshen. So son, I need you to go ahead. I need you to go unto Joseph so that he can direct us to Goshen." And it says, "And they came into the land of Goshen." So they are in the area where they are supposed to be, but they don't know exactly where they're supposed to go. Now keep in mind, Joseph knows that his family is coming. He doesn't know the exact time frame. He doesn't know how many days it will be. But now that the cat is out of the bag, Joseph is very much aware that his family will be coming. Now think for just a moment. Here Joseph is involved in his day, doing what it is he needs to do. But in the back of the mind of his mind, he knows that the family's supposed to be coming. And Judah shows up. And Joseph knows exactly what that means. That means they're here. Have you ever known something was going to happen and you still got nervous? Have you ever known something was going to happen and you still got excited on the inside? You still got anxious? You still got nervous on the inside? Here's Joseph, and he has not seen his father for 22 years, and Judah has just shown up, and he's basically said, "Joseph, we're here, and we don't know where to go. What do you want us to do?" I can't imagine what it must have been like for Joseph. But notice what it says in verse number 29. It says, "And Joseph made ready his chariot." I don't know what the second in command had to do to get his chariot ready. I bet it wasn't much, but he got his chariot ready. And it says, "And went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him." Now, I don't know if verse 29 ever gets your attention as you're reading through the scripture, but verse 29 always gets my attention. Because it says, when Joseph saw Jacob and they were able to see each other for the first time and touch each other for the first time, notice what it says. It says, "And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while." Can you imagine what that looked like? That is the raw emotion of Joseph coming out. After 22 years of not seeing Dad, of not even knowing whether or not he was still alive until the brother's first visit some months prior or whatever the time frame would have been, here Joseph is after 22 years. He is able to see his father, and he begins to grab him around the neck, and he begins to weep on him. And it says that he just held on to his neck for a good while and wept. And here's what we know. Those were not tears of sorrow. Those were tears of absolute joy. Those were tears of absolute excitement. Those were tears of absolute gladness. And so here is Joseph, and as he sees his father, he weeps upon his neck as he has grabbed him around the neck. And notice what it says in verse number 30. It says, "And Israel said unto Joseph, Now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive." Israel, what do you mean by that? I mean this. Now that I know my son's alive, I'm okay with dying. I know my baby boy, not babiest of babies. You know, Benjamin's the baby, but knowing my son, knowing that he's alive and knowing that he's well and knowing that he's good, I can die now and I'll be okay. That was not just a casual reunion. That was not just a casual reacquaintance of a father with the son. This is a son who is weeping, who is weeping, who is weeping, who does not want to let go of his father because of the emotions and the excitement and the anxiety, whatever the feelings would have been. Here is Joseph, and he is just thrilled with what is happening. And Jacob, he is of the same mindset. He is of the same spirit. I can die now knowing that my son is alive. That is a wonderful experience both these men were able to enjoy. Why were these men, Jacob and Joseph, able to enjoy such a meeting? Why were they able to enjoy such a reunion? Why did all this happen and why did all this take place in the life of Jacob and Joseph? It's very simple. Because God is good. God is kind. God is benevolent. God is charitable. I thought you said God was good already. He was. Even in the midst of separation, even in the midst of uncertainty, even in the midst of not knowing whether or not the father was still alive, with the idea that thinking Joseph was dead and had been killed by a wild animal, God was still good in all that. But you know what Jacob and Joseph got to experience that day when they were reunited after all those years? You know what they got to experience? They got to experience an extra measure of God's goodness in their life. I don't mean to be weird. I don't mean to be inappropriate here. But it was kind of like a fat boy eating donut holes playing video games. It was an extra measure of goodness they were able to enjoy. Because God is good. God is kind. God is benevolent. God is charitable. David said it. The psalmist wrote it. Jacob and Joseph, they would say amen to it. And yes, even in the normal, mundane, ordinary, routine, basic days of life, God is good. But because God is good, every once in a while, he says, I'm just going to give you something extra. I'm going to give you something you weren't expecting, something that you don't deserve, something you weren't anticipating. And I'm going to do it, not because I wasn't good prior to me doing it, but because I am good, I am still going to bless you in ways that you maybe weren't even expecting at this moment in your life. Now this evening, I just want us to think about a couple of simple thoughts. To an extent, I know that this will sound so cliche-ish, okay? And I understand that. And you may leave here tonight and say, well, he didn't tell me anything I didn't already know. I understand it. You may not need the message, but the person beside you may need it tonight, okay? So just be glad that your neighbor is getting something from this if you're not, all right? I want us to think about our lives. For most of us, it's pretty vanilla. It's pretty basic. It's pretty simple, is it not? I don't look at my life and just think, isn't this just a wow kind of a moment every day? But when I'm honest, you know what I have to admit? God is good. He's good. Well, Kyle, why would you say God is good? I woke up this morning. And I had the ability to get out of bed. It's pretty good. Because there are a lot of people who woke up this morning and they were unable or incapable of getting out of bed. I got up this morning, I got out of bed, and I went into the living room or into the kitchen, and I made myself breakfast because I had food in the pantry. It's pretty good. Because a lot of people went to a pantry and it was empty. I got dressed and got in my car and came to the church. I had a job to go to this morning. God's good. Got to open my Bible that I preached about Sunday night. That's pretty good. See this? This is good. I got to go home tonight and I got to eat supper. Got to come back to church and I got to be with church family tonight. You know, what I preached about a couple of Sunday nights ago. You know, pretty simple stuff. Not things that, you know, a lot of people would get too excited about. But I look at that and I say, you know what? That may be pretty vanilla. That may be pretty uneventful in the minds of a lot of people. But I look at that and I say, man, that is the goodness of God on display in my life. Well, Brother Kyle, does that mean you've had a perfect week and that everything's gone swell and hunky-dory? No, that's not what it means. I mean, there have already been some bumps in the road this week and there have already been some issues that I faced this week. But even in spite of that, you know what? God is good. He just is. God has been good to me and God has been good to you. I mean, I don't want to overplay this and I don't want to make too much of it. But again, to think that we're all here tonight, we're all safe, our houses weren't destroyed, that we weren't dealing with any of the devastation, any of the destruction, we're not planning anyone's funeral because of the activity of this week. Do you realize just in the simplicity of that, how it reveals the goodness of God in our lives? If everything goes right, we'll go home in a few minutes. We'll get into our beds and we'll sleep comfortably with the heater cranked up a little bit or down just a little bit because we know how we like to sleep and we can control all of it with the push of a button or the turn of a thermostat. I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty good. Because I am a horrible survivalist. Just honestly. Simple, everyday life. And you know what I have to say? Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. He is kind. He is charitable. He is benevolent. And then you know what's even more amazing? Is in spite of everything that He already does for us, from time to time, He just throws extras at us. Not because we deserved it. Not because we were worthy of it. Not because we had reached a stage in our life where we finally earned it. But God just says, here, I want to give you something extra. Well, God, why are you doing that? Because I'm good. You know, kind of like Jacob and Joseph, they got to enjoy this reunion that just a few months prior, they did not think would ever happen, and I just gave that to them just kind of unexpectedly and out of the blue. I did that because I'm good. So we would sit here, or I would stand here before you this evening and say this, you know what I feel like? I feel like there are so many times as I go through life, in addition to all the stuff I already enjoyed, the blessings that I've already been the recipient of, it's though the Lord comes and just says, here, Kyle, here's something else. No, you don't deserve it, but I'm just going to give it to you. Because I'm good. I've mentioned this before, but where I sit in my office, my computer screen sometimes will start rolling the pictures whenever I've not used the computer for a while, and I see all these memories come up on the screen. And you know what I'm reminded of? We didn't deserve that family trip. We didn't deserve that memory. We didn't deserve to be able to go out of town. And God just said, there it is. There's something extra for you. On the shelves in my office, I have different pictures of different events in my life, and looked at a picture today just because it's there, and it's Susie and I standing outside the White House just finishing a tour of the White House. How many guys from Pampa, Texas know somebody who worked for the president and gets to take a tour of the White House, and I happen to be one of those guys? I mean, truly, what are the odds of that? But it was like the Lord said, you know, it's just no big deal to me. The White House, it's even less of a big deal to him right now. But I'm just playing, okay? Stupid comment, I shouldn't have said it, I'm just playing. But here it is. Listen, here it is. Just extra. Kids who are healthy. Kids who are well. It's one of those extras. I don't deserve that. That's not what I've earned. It's not what I'm entitled to. It's just an extra. The times that the church has blessed Susie and I and the family in ways that I could have never imagined. There's an extra. Why does God do that? Because He's good. Why do you have the extras in your life? Because God is good. It's not because you work hard. It's not because you have all the skill. It's not because you have all the intellect. It's not because you have done this yourself and you have fashioned this and you have created this. That's not why it's happened. It's happened because God is good. And tonight, I just want to remind us of the simple, simple truth that someone in here may need this evening. No matter what, God is good. He just is. And you and I can give thanks unto the Lord because God is good. And when the extras come, it's like, oh man, I don't know if I can handle this one. This one is a little bit more than I can even bear right now. The joy and the gladness and the excitement that has come with it, it's just more than I could even imagine. Listen, God's good. And I don't mean to send us away with some oversimplified Bible thought, but it's true. God is good. Let's all stand tonight and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, as I come to you this evening, God, I do pray that you would help us tonight to just remember that no matter what, you are good. God, no matter what is happening in our lives, you are kind and you are charitable, you are benevolent. God, you are all the things that Scripture says you are. And Lord, I pray that tonight you just help us to focus on your goodness, that you'd help us to focus on your kindness. God, when you do the extras in our life, when you perform the amazing in our lives, it's not because you weren't good before. It's just that you're showing us how good you truly are. And God, I pray that you'd help us to be thankful for that. I pray that you'd help us to rejoice in that truth, maybe even tonight for those who would need it. But thank you for who you are and your goodness. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Lauren plays, if you need to pray, you've got time.